Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast, home of all things hard rock and heavy metal. I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. Now, let's get things started with the Talking Metal theme song, written by Rob Halford, Metal Mike, and Roy Z. Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy holidays. We are still in our year-end roundup mode phase, if you will. And today, to talk about the best albums of 2017, I have two contributors to TalkingMetal.com and TalkingRock.net, two guys who've been posting stuff on the website all year. I hope you guys have checked out some of their great articles and reviews. I have Joe Becht and
how you doing?
Victor Ruiz. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, just getting ready for Christmas, New Year's, all that good stuff.
Awesome. And Victor, how are things in Spain?
Things are good. Getting kind of chilly over here. Nowhere near as chilly as what you guys have, but the music is here to keep us warm.
Cool.
Sounds good. Yeah, we had snow today.
Oh, did you really? Wow. Yeah, I heard the lake effect snow was hitting certain places. I guess that includes you, Joe. Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
All right.
Yeah, let's get going.
Cool. Well, let's talk about your favorite releases from 2017. I'd also like to talk about some of the concerts that stick out in the minds of you guys as great shows that you've seen. I know, Joe, you go to a lot of shows. So let's start with releases, though. Top five albums. Let's start with number five from Victor Ruiz of the Mars Attacks podcast. Victor, what do you got at number five for us?
Number five for me would be Living Colors Shade.
It's a good one, definitely. And Any thoughts behind it that you could share?
Yeah, I was a huge Living Color fan early on, especially of the second album, Time's Up. I played the ever-living crap out of that album. I loved it so much. I still listen to it from time to time. And although I've appreciated stuff off of the other albums that they've put out since then, Shade is like a return to form for them, in my opinion. And it touches on a lot of different things, obviously, social aspect of things that are going on, especially in the U.S. right now. And just the music is really up to par with a lot of their earlier stuff, where they've always experimented, and sometimes, for me anyway, they've maybe lost me here and there, but I think this album is really on point, and I really enjoyed it. So,
absolutely. And, you know, I didn't really follow. I was a big fan for the first two records. Like you said, that second record, wow, that was amazing. Love Rears Its Ugly Head is one of the greatest rock songs ever. So good. But I didn't really follow them much since then. I remember seeing Vernon Reid play a solo show at one point during the 90s, but kind of lost track of them. And this album has really brought me back into the Living Color fold. It's a great record. It's Shade by Living Color. It's Victor's number 5 for 2017. Over to Joe. Joe, what do you have at number 5?
All right, number 5 for me is Greta Van Fleet, okay, from the Fighters.
Cool. A lot of chatter about this band. Some people calling them too close to the Led Zeppelin sound, almost a clone.
They're very close to Led Zeppelin sound. They throw in a little Black Crowes too.
Yeah,
so the sound is an original, but the way I look at it is it's a sound that's been dormant for a while. So I have nothing against young people resurrecting it, and it's an enjoyable listen.
Absolutely. And they are young guys, right? Like early 20s or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they just played here in Chicago. It was at a really small place.
Wow.
So unfortunately, I wasn't able to go because I was in Los Angeles. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But I enjoy it. It's an enjoyable listen. And yeah, they are really young guys from Michigan. But the singer, Josh Kiska, sounds exactly like Robert Plant.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Awesome. Victor, number 4, your fourth favorite album of 2017.
Number 4 for me is Darkness Remains by Night Demon.
Wow. Okay.
And I really enjoyed this album. I know this is sort of maybe controversial for a few people because I know they've rated other albums of theirs higher, but I don't know. This album just sort of stuck with me since it came out. They're not inventing anything new here. They're obviously doing a lot of new wave of British heavy metal influence stuff and a lot of, you know, early 80s hard rock type stuff. And I don't know. They just had quite a few tracks off of this album that I really liked. And like I said, just as the tracks have stuck with me since they've come out.
Very cool. I'm going to have to pitch. So, Victor, I'm writing this down. So if it's not on my list, I'm buying everything tonight.
And for the listeners, guys, we will have these lists posted in today's show notes on talkingmetal.com and talkingrock.net. So no need to write the list down like Joe is currently doing. You can just simply go to our website. We'll have the lists posted. And that was number 4 from Victor. Now we're going over to Joe Becht for number 4. Joe, your fourth favorite listen. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is where it really gets good for me because 2017 was a great year for music. Venom Inc., Ave Santanas is just a great album. And they took, you know, you got Montes and Abaddon combined with the Demolition Man.
Right.
And they took that old Venom sound and updated it. And it's blistering, great, hard pounding metal. I love it.
Yeah, I saw those guys in concert up in Montreal like 2 years ago, and they were so good, so much fun. And yeah, Tony Demolition Man Dolan definitely is doing a great job at fronting the band. And that new Venom stuff caused me to go back and kind of rediscover the looked over material he did with Venom, like in, I guess it would have been like the late 80s, early 90s. There's some good stuff that he's done with them even back in those days. But yeah, Venom Inc., 2/3 of the original Venom lineup back with Tony Dolan, who was definitely in Venom, but maybe not in the classic era, if you will, or the real popular era. But yeah, good stuff, Venom Inc. And do you want to hit a track off of that, Joe?
Yeah, let's do Forged in Hell, because Mantis just rips on the guitar in that song.
Let's check it out. Venom Inc. here on Talking Metal. We'll be right back. A Little Venom Inc. from 2017 here on Talking Metal. I am with Joe Becht and Victor Ruiz, and we are talking about the top five greatest albums of the year. We are over to Victor for number three. What do you got there, Victor?
I have Mastodon's Emperor of Sand. Oh, and what's that, Mark?
I said, oh, nice, nice.
Oh, okay. It seemed like I caught you off guard with my last pick. I was hoping I wasn't going down a slippery slope here. Mastodon just continue to, in my opinion, put out great music. Whether I know there's a lot of hardcore listeners of the band that are still crying for them to go back to Leviathan and things like that, but the band have continuously said, you know, we were influenced by Thin Lizzy and AC/DC and, you know, things like that, and it's shown. They've gone more and more in a hard rock direction with every release since Crack the Sky, and in my opinion, they haven't disappointed with any albums since then, and their albums have consistently been on my year-end list. I know some people don't check them out because maybe they're considered, you know, hipster metal or whatever, or hipster music in general, but I think if you put all the, you know, labels and nonsense aside, it's a really solid album.
Absolutely. What do you want to play off that record, Victor? Any track we could play for the Talking Metal listeners?
Yeah, the track that I just absolutely love is called Steam Breather.
Cool. Here it is, Steam Breather by Mastodon from 2017 here on Talking Metal.
Hoping you grow the fruit.
a little new Mastodon on Talking Metal. We are with Victor Ruiz and Joe Beck going over the top releases of 2017. That was number three, a little Mastodon from Victor. Over to Joe. Joe, your number three greatest record of the year is?
Well, so the next three, it's going to be it's really close, because I thought this was slam dunk for 2017 until my next two came out. Stone Sour's Hydrograd. Just absolutely love this album. Corey Taylor and the band take a lot of different chances, go into little, you know, there's that heaviness, but they go into little different styles here and there, some 80s metal, some really 80s type great guitar work by new guitarist Christian Martucci. So I really enjoy this listen a lot. And like I said, I thought it was a slam dunk for album of the year until my next two came out.
Nice. And Stone Sour now featuring, I guess he's been in the band for a while, but I it only just recently came to my attention, ex-Fireball Ministry bassist Johnny Chow in Stone Sour.
Yeah.
So, very cool. We are moving on to number two. We're getting close to the top here, guys. Victor, number two, the number two greatest record of 2017 as according to Victor Ruiz of the Mars Attacks podcast. What do you got for us?
All right, so here's the one that's probably going to garner me the most amount of shit out of anything, but I absolutely love this album. This album has riffs for days, in my opinion. It's a great return to form by this album, or by this band, excuse me. And my one and only time that I got to do a Talking Metal live show in person with John and Mark, we had Joey Z from Life of Agony on. And for me, Life of Agony is a place where there's no pain. It's just an absolutely great album. I know a lot of people have focused more on the whole lead singer situation with the transgender thing.
Right.
And I think people haven't gotten beyond that to give this album a chance. This is also, to me, the typical thing where people will say, well, it'll never be as good as Master of Puppets. It'll never be as good as Destroyer. Okay, so it'll never be as good for a lot of people as their first two albums. But because most people got to listen to those albums when they were 16, 17, 18 years old, so they were in a completely different space of mind at the time. And it's completely different if you're in your late 30s, early 40s, close to 50s. Nothing that comes out now is ever going to compare to that stuff. So I think if you listen to stuff objectively and with an open mind, I think there's quite a few good tracks on here, and especially from a music standpoint, excuse me, just the riffs that Joey Z and Alan Roberts came up with for this album are amazing, in my opinion.
And what's the record called again?
The album is called A Place Where There's No Pain.
I got to check it out, because I have to admit I haven't really listened to that at all. So you have piqued my interest. Life of Agony, for sure, definitely. Joe, number two, what do you got?
Here we go. Black Country Communion, BCC4. Love this album. I listen to it at least 2 to 3 times a week. I know there's a controversial song on there called The Crow, but I have a theory about that, if I may.
Yeah, well, The Crow is a song which we've spoken about on numerous podcasts at this point that sounds a little too close to a Rage Against the Machine song called Bulls on Parade. But what's your theory? What's your theory, Joe?
All right, my theory is, well, I saw Jason Bonham play with his Led Zeppelin Experience this summer, and he flat out said that the Wonton song is just the his favorite Led Zeppelin song, the favorite song that his father played on. If you listen to Rage Against the Machine's Viet Now, it kind of borrows from the Wonton song. So I'm always of this theory, like The Cult kind of went back and forth with this with the Foo Fighters, and Prince went back and forth with this with the Foo Fighters, where they would steal each other's stuff or blatantly just copy each other's tunes. I wouldn't doubt if it's that, you know, Jason Bonham telling Glenn Hughes, you know, let's get back at Rage and take a little of their riff, since they took a little of my father's riff. So that's just my theory. I could be way out there, but I love the album. I love the song, and it's just a great listen.
Yeah. Sounds No offense, sounds a little far-fetched to me. I like the theory, though. I like where you went with it. I like how you tied it all together. It's a smart
theory.
I don't know if it's true, but okay. Go ahead.
I remember hearing it now by Rage when it came out in the 90s ago, and this sounds like the Wonton song. I mean, it's tuned way down low, but, you know, now you just wonder. I've been called crazy before.
It's incredible, Glenn Hughes, a man in his mid-60s at this point, just year after year, from California Breed 2 years ago to Resonate last year to the fourth record by Black Country Communion, how he continues at his age to deliver such potent rock, just a 1-2-3 punch just right at you. And I am absolutely blown away by this guy. He doesn't stop. Every year, full records of new material. His voice better than ever. His playing just awesome. He's got two brand new knees. He's out there rocking it. He had to have both knees replaced recently. But anyway, so I saw him last year, and just incredible. I will remind everyone, if you didn't hear his solo record from last year, Resonate, amazing. The year before that, California Breed with Jason Bonham and Andrew Watt on guitar, phenomenal young kid from New York City on guitar. That record was one of the greatest rock records of the past two decades. Definitely, if you don't know those two records, go back and check those out. Black Country Communion, the fourth record, is out this year. It's number 2 on Joe Beck's list for 2017. Let's head over to number 1. I want to get both you guys to give me your number 1 album, and then we'll play a track from each album. But let's first reveal both number 1s. Victor, the number 1 album of 2017 for you is?
For me, Head and Shoulders Above All the Rest. Okay. And again, we can debate whether this is hard rock or whether it's rock or whatever. But to me, nothing has played more than Queens of the Stone Age's Villains.
Right. Yeah, and definitely we could debate it, because it definitely has, you know, with Mark Ronson, the producer who has done a lot of hip-hop and pop and Amy Winehouse, it definitely, to me, has a different vibe, nowhere near as heavy as those earlier Queens of the Stone Age records, which, I mean, if you go back and listen to that first Queens of the Stone Age record, it's almost Caius. I mean, it's so much sludge and stuff. But yeah, I'm with you on two fronts, that it's an absolutely insanely good record, and two, it may not actually be a hard rock and heavy metal record, but since they do have hard rock roots for sure, you are allowed to include it as your number one record of the year. definitely, it's good. It's good, great stuff.
Second that. Queens of the Stone Age is in the wheelhouse, so I hear here. Awesome. And I'm picking that up tonight, Victor.
All right, cool. Joe, what do you got at number one?
Number one for me is a crossover from Victor's list, Living Color, Shade. Just nice. Phenomenal. And I'd like to preface it by saying I was always lukewarm on Living Color. I saw them open up for the Stones. I saw them play on their tour here at the Metro at a smaller vendor in Chicago. Liked them, was never a huge fan. This album just blows me out of the water. And I invite everybody, all the listeners out there, to go back to listen to Emily's interview with Vernon Reed. Fantastic interview.
Oh, cool.
Just an amazing album. They take, I mean, everything in here. I got my kids into it because they like rap, and they love the version of Who Shot You on this. The Preaching Blues is blues, but it's friggin' heavy as can be. Just up and down, a fantastic album. So that's my number one.
Awesome. Great record. Great pick. It was Victor's number 5. It's your number 1. We'll definitely hit a track on it in a bit. But yeah, good stuff. Let's first hit a Queens of the Stone Age song from 2017. What do you have for us, Victor?
My favorite track off of the album is the first one, Feats Don't Fail Me Now.
Here we go. Queens of the Stone Age on Talking Metal.
We'll
Stone Age here on Talking Metal. Joe, Living Color, what track you got for us?
Man, this is hard. It's like trying to pick who my favorite kid is, but I'm gonna have to go with I love Always Wrong. It just, you know, it comes after, it's like Program, Who Shot You, bam bam bam, you're getting punched in the face, then Always Wrong just brings out emotion in me, and it just resonates with me so much, and I think it's a beautiful song, so I'm gonna have to pick Always Wrong.
Cool. Always Wrong by Living Color here on Talking Metal.
Can't start where I begun. What's done can't be undone. You can't outrun the sun. Oh,
back in my throat. Still I dig a hole. This is the end. And all the
That was a little Living Color here on Talking Metal. Be sure to check out the list that we'll have up in the show notes for today's episode on the website. And also just visit the website so you can check out the articles that Joe and Victor have been writing for us. There's some really great stuff. We're kind of shifting direction now. We still have talkingmetal.com, but the main site now in 2018 is going to be talkingrock.net, which means we can spread our wings a little bit as far as musical styles and genres, but not too much. We're still going to stick with the hard and heavy stuff that we all love, the classic hard rock and heavy metal sounds that will still be prominently featured on talkingrock.net. Talking Metal, the podcast, is going nowhere. We've been bringing you weekly episodes almost every week since 2005, which is just insane, and we're going to keep that going. So happy new year, everybody, and thanks to Joe and Victor for joining us on this episode with their favorite. And before we go, Victor, any leftovers, any ones that were close that almost made your list, could you throw some at us, some other good releases from 2017?
Absolutely. This album, or this year, I would say, like Joe said, had a lot of great music, like every year. I think if you look, find stuff that's good that's out there. Things that could have easily made the top five. Amber Galactic from the Night Flight Orchestra. Psychotic Symphony from nice. Sons of Apollo. The Grinding Wheel by... Yeah, the Grinding Wheel by Overkill, who...
Awesome.
The later they get in their career, they seem to just get better and better. you know, they just keep putting out solid music. I really enjoyed L.A. Guns, The Missing Piece. It has a lot of elements of the first album to me, which is still my favorite by them, and absolutely love this new album. What was a... clusterfuck of an interview for me, but still enjoy the album is Stephen Piercy's Smash.
Great record.
And I mean, I also really enjoyed the new Royal Blood album, which, you know, is more on the rock side. How Did We Get So Dark? And The Darkness is Pinewood Smile. Not a huge fan of The Darkness. And I really enjoyed it. I will have to say this. I wish Jason Bonham would listen to Rufus Taylor play a little and realize that his father did come up with a few other drum patterns that Jason has forgot about in recent years. So
okay. And that's the guy, he's the son of Roger Taylor from Queen, right?
That is correct. Yeah, yes.
Drums of the Darkness. Very cool. Very cool. Joe, yeah. Let's go over to you. You go to a lot of shows. So when you look back over the year 2017, what are some of the top shows that stand out in your mind?
Man, I saw some great shows this year. First of all, the Open Air Festival here in Chicago was awesome because of so many bands. But the surprises were how great Slayer and Rob Zombie were. Just blew me away. Slayer, I've never seen so much pyro in my life with Slayer. The best concerts were probably the bookends. The first concert I saw this year was Tool, and they just blew me away. First time I saw them, just musicianship, stage show, Maynard stayed in the background. You could barely see him. The band and the drummer, the bassist and the guitarist were from the forefront, but just an amazing show. And then Guns N' Roses, I just saw them last week in LA on the final part of their US league.
Awesome.
And I wasn't expecting much, and man, they delivered. Just delivered a great stage show, great performance. And the band, you know, you had the core three original guys, but the rest of the band just were amazing as well. So I really enjoyed Guns N' Roses and Tool. But I saw, I saw Stephen Piercy at a small village last fling in Naperville, put on a great show, played the one song off of Smash, and the rest was a Rat set list. So that was a great show. Metallica, I enjoyed. Yeah, so great year for concerts. Maiden, of course. But my two favorite were Tool and Guns N' Roses.
Awesome. Victor, what are you looking forward to in 2018 as far as releases go? Anything that you're really excited about?
Well, I it would be interesting if Tool finally got their album out, which, for everyone, for everyone that shit on Guns N' Roses for all those years. I'm hoping that we'll see, apparently we're going to see new Megadeth, I think, towards the end of the year, supposedly. That should be interesting. Hoping Metallica also said that they wanted to turn albums around quicker, which I sort of doubt, because outside of the two Load albums, they've never really taken less than 5 years to release anything. Well, I guess early on, maybe not the case, but after Master of Puppets, it's always been the case. So, I'm hoping some of the bigger bands that we've been accustomed to seeing put out some decent material. Maybe Ozzy for one last fling, and with him and Zach.
Let me tell you guys, I went into the city yesterday. Today we are recording this way early. You guys won't hear it for a while, the listeners, but it's the December 7th. I was in the city yesterday at Epic Records, and went into a room by myself. And they told me I was the first person, one of the first person, possibly, this is what they said, possibly the first person besides band and management and people who were in the studio with them to hear the new Priest record.
Awesome.
Because I was the first guy there for press. They played me the record from start to finish, everything but one song they played me. And what I heard, there was only one song that I thought was less than perfect. Again, I heard every song but one off the record. The other songs were perfect. This new Judas Priest record goes places that they haven't gone since not only the early 80s, but since the 70s. I'm talking about Rob's vocal styling, singing, doing his using that beautiful voice that we heard on like Sin After Sin and Sad Wings of Destiny, where, you know, we know Rob can scream and deliver a punch with his voice, but it is so refreshing to hear him sing in that natural, organic voice. Again, a beautiful singing voice on him, and it's back, along with songs that sound like they could come off a Painkiller, songs that they sound like that could, you know, come off of Point of Entry, even a little turbo hookiness here and there. Sometimes... all within the same song, hitting upon different eras of the band. It is a great record. I'm very excited for it. When I heard the 10-second sound clip of Firepower, I was like, sounds kind of like a Painkiller knockoff. Don't judge it by that little sound clip. This is an epic record that, again, I only heard it once, minus one, one song. But I was very, very impressed by this record and can't wait to hear what you guys think of it.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Andy Sneap.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. Saxon, they're touring with Saxon, so Saxon's coming out with a new release. I'm also dying, and I'm 50-50 on going still, but I want to hear reviews or snippets from the Gene Simmons vault. I'm just dying to know what's in there and what the experiences are like. The first one's coming up in January 6th in Los Angeles. There's one coming up in St. Louis that I'm toying with.
Listening parties you're talking about, right? Where they got to pay a big amount of money to go.
It's two grand. it's $2,000. You spend time with him, and you get the giant vault with all the CDs. So
yeah, and which sounds like an incredible amount of money. However, I will defend Gene because, you know, it's like the guy's a superstar. I mean, everyone knows. My dad knows who Gene Simmons is. You know, my son knows who Gene Simmons is, and they have, you know, like a 67 years between them. You know, but it's like this guy is a major superstar, and why not? Why not charge people to come meet you? I mean, these meet and greets, you know, you want to meet Steven Tyler and Joe Perry at the Aerosmith meet and greet, you're going to pay close to $2,000, you know? So it's really not that outrageous when you think about it. You know, and people are like, oh, well, 50,000, he'll come to your house. Yeah. You know, Bruce Willis won't come to your house for $50,000. You know, it's not that bad, really. When you think about, you know, Vince Neil will also probably show up at your house for, you know, $50,000 and play with his band. That's what it costs to book these people. And so, you know, I think it's a crazy amount of money, but if they can get it, I mean, wouldn't you do the same thing? It's capitalist society. I mean, I don't know. It's like Gene has always been more than grateful with his fans. You know, I've seen him shake hands with everybody waiting to meet him at, you know, after the concert and even take pictures for free. So, you know, I think it's not that big of a ripoff. But anyways, that's my defense of Gene Simmons end the show.
Yeah, I know the conversation with Gene would be fulfilling, and I have some specific questions to ask him. I'm just I'm reluctant because they disappointed me musically, and I don't want to, you know, fall into that either. So it'll be interesting to hear from the people that go on January 6th to Los Angeles how the experience is.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And Joe, are you going to see Vinnie Vincent in Atlanta?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, I'll be there. Hopefully, Vinny will show, but we will.
Yeah,
be there.
I know.
We'll have to do a live Talking Metal or a record an episode of Talking Metal while we're there with you, Joe, in person.
All right, cool.
All right, very cool. All right, guys. Happy New Year, and let's keep the writing going. Come visit the website and read all this great stuff that Joe and Victor are doing for us here on Talking Metal and Talking Rock. All right, thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. Happy New Year.